Life's rarest commodity is to find someone who will listen and hear and not advise. Life's rarest commodity is to find someone who will listen and hear and not advise. Now, you think that's a friend. You think a friend is someone who will listen and not advise you. Well, a friend's got lots of advice. Friend is always feeling they're so close to you, they can say things. They can tell you how to improve your life and how to shake yourself up and put yourself on. It's just like Ellen was telling me a story about Elias yesterday. When he was a young man, he was in college, I believe, or something like that, and he was with these college kids, and one of them got snuckered, and he had to take the kid home because he could not drive and he could not do anything else. And apparently the kid wanted to drive and he wanted to do this and he wanted to do that. And Elias said, "No, no, no, I'm driving you home." And the kid was fighting Elias and saying, "No, I'm going to drive you." And Elias said, "No, no, just relax, relax, relax." And he got the kid home and got him put in bed and got him all set. And the parents were very appreciative of that. Elias was sort of a hero in doing this, but you see, Elias listened to the person and heard what he had to say, but because Elias was not drunk, he was able to give better advice as to what this kid should do and got him home all right. But it's rare to find someone who will listen to us and not advise us. Could you imagine that same illustration with this kid who was totally drunk, you know, totally unable to handle himself, a menace to driving, you know, on the highway or anything else like that? And for Elias to be the rare person who would just listen to him, Now, there's a lot of movies where this is depicted, but they don't really point out what's happening. You look at it and you just think, just mamby-pamby sort of stuff. But, for instance, a person gets drunk and he wants to drive home. The bartender says, "No, no, no, give me your keys. You take a cab, you know. You come back, get your keys tomorrow. But no, no, you don't take your car." And that's giving advice. But this guy's, let's call him Ein Friend, one friend, a special friend. He's not really a special friend, he's just a person that comes along and he talks to the guy and he says, "Well, how are you doing?" And he sees the guy is just totally crocked, he's totally drunk. And he sits there and he talks with this fellow for 1, 2, 3 hours. Unconsciously, perhaps, knowing that in his talking, this person is going to drink enough coffee, which doesn't make any difference, but he's going to let it evaporate through his system, and it's let it come out of his system, so to speak, so that the liquor no longer is going to disturb him and make him irrational and make him an incompetent. And so he talks to him, and while he talks to him, the guy falls asleep a couple of times, you know, on the bar. And then he wakes up, blah, 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 you know. And the guy takes the time to talk to him. He doesn't give him advice, doesn't say, "You shouldn't drive, you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you should do this, you should." He didn't say any of that. He just talked to him. He said, "No, what's your work you do? You know, where you go? What's your life all about? What's your happy times, you know? What are nice things in your world?" You know. Wouldn't it be something to find a person like that? A person who, I don't want to say really cares, but a person who has a certain depth to them and is willing to spend 2 or 3 hours with a person while they're coming back to their senses. And not judging them, not sending them home where their wife or family are going to be upset with them for being all schnockered, but just sort of being there for him and spending the time with him. And if the bar closes, as it does at 2 o'clock in the morning normally. Then they go over to the coffee shop next door, or they go down the street or wherever, you know. They walk or take a cab or something, and they continue their conversation. Now, what does this guy want from this other guy? What does he want from him? Does he want to roll him and take his wallet and get him when he's now aware of it? Or does he just say, here's a person who has a problem, and the problem is not severe. It can be solved just by time. So I'll sit with him. I'll babysit him. I don't know if he doesn't say that, you know. He doesn't think babysit him. But I'll just sit with him. And I will be there, you know, and work with him. And when he's feeling competent, when he's feeling relaxed, when he's back to himself again, then, you know, I'll just disappear. He doesn't need to know who I am. He doesn't need to know. He probably will hear my life history because we talk back and forth. I got to talk about something. So we're talking about him, and he's talking about me, and we're talking about each other. But I'm taking this into a further point now. But as the weeks go by and the months, years go by, will the drunk, we don't want to call him a drunk, will the person who had to get his balance back, will he remember that somewhere in his life somebody cared enough about him to let him be himself and yet not hurt himself? To let him come to his awareness, come to his senses, not give him any advice, not do anything with him, just keep him from trouble while he was finding himself. Now, theoretically, that's what the another name for that is parents. But unfortunately, parents are made up of people. And people are not all trained in the art of caring, unconditionally caring. See, most parents are conditionally caring. You're my child, you'll do what I say and do it now, you know. No, that's fine and dandy. Very few parents will go to their children and say, well, what is your plan for this evening? That sounds exciting. Is that going to be as rewarding as it sounds? Or, you know, have you thought all about it? You thought all the ramifications of what it means to go to this other town and go to this sporting event and then go out drinking with the kids afterwards and drive it all the way back from that other town to this town? Have you thought about that? It's quite a ways to go and should be quite a time. Who's doing the driving? Is it somebody that you know and someone who's responsible, you know? Are you doing the driving? Well, you're probably planning on not drinking if you want to do the driving, but that's up to you, you know. You've got to make up your own mind on that sort of thing. And what's a kid going to do with a parent like that? What's a kid going to do? They're going to be real super kids. They're going to think for themselves, come to their own decision, and not say, my mother said I have to do this. My father said I can't do that. You know, they're not going to say that. They're going to say, hey, let's, they're going to think. They're going to think. Instead of saying, we don't want to do this, we don't want to drink, we don't want to do that. They'll say, hey, let's go for a swim afterwards, you know, in the lake. And, you know, swimming is certainly a balancing thing, too. And then after a nice swim, then they say, well, let's go and get a hamburger, you know, in the malt. Oh, let's have a beer. Oh, what's up, beer? You know, I mean, if you want a beer, there are beers over there, too, but I want a hamburger and a malt. So they go in and get a hamburger and a malt. Everybody's having a hamburger and a malt. And so the people who didn't think of having it, they say, well, what the heck, you know, the beer isn't all that good. Hamburger and a malt's kind of nice. We're doing it with everybody else. But, you see, not giving judgment, not giving advice, but loving in a way that is unconditional loving, and it's a beautiful loving. Can you do that for yourself, for yourself? Can you listen to yourself as you say you want to do something because you have to do it? Now, Anita gets on the dance floor. She's at a barn dance. She didn't bring a partner along with her. And so she gets up and she dances. Now, Anita might have said to herself, why? How, why doesn't somebody ask me to dance? I want to dance. Why doesn't somebody ask me to dance? I want to dance. I want to dance. And so her inner self doesn't advise her. It just is herself. See, we are our own friends. How do we say it here? We and someone who listen and hear and not advise. So our inner self listens and hears and says, okay, let's. But what do people think if I'm out here dancing all by myself? Now, Anita, try this on for size. What if a man would get up and start dancing by himself? I know they do, but what if he would? What would people think? They think, what a creep, you know? What a creep up there dancing by himself. Now, at the barn dance, did any man dance by himself? Was he having a good time? Mm-hmm. Did he care what anybody else thought? Did other people look at him and say, he's having a good time? Did they say, what a creep? Not at all. It wasn't in his consciousness, and it wasn't in theirs. You see, this is what we want to do. We want to not advise either ourselves or others. Just go and be yourself and have fun. Live your life and be dynamic and be dramatic and get all the joy you can out of it. Not because you need the joy, not because you want the joy because you deserve it, but because that's just the fun of doing it. You just go and be yourself. Now, can you be yourself? Can you not give yourself advice? Well, if I don't do it this way, then it won't be right. You know, I have to have every hair just so in my head and stuff like that, you know. I'm always amused at men who can't comb their hair forward. covering their bald spot. And I was talking to someone the other day, and I said to her, I said, she says, well, white hair is so nice. I said, yeah, I used to color it, and then a little kid came up to me one day and said, I had nice gray hair, and I just colored it. And I figured, you know, who am I kidding? And she says, but your hair is so nice, you know, your hair is so pretty. She says, people with white hair, that should just be a lovely compliment. It's not age. It's just the circumstances. When you're a little baby and you're born with dark hair, and then all of a sudden it turns blonde, you don't even think a thing about it. You just take it as it comes and goes and so forth. And as you get older and you become a teenager, then you're crazy. You're an idiot. You're absolutely crazy. You boys make their hair pink and orange and green. Oh, green, I tell you. It is something to look at. And phosphorescent yet. And the girls, they do half their head one and half the other, and the boys too. Now, where do they get the guts to do that? Well, it doesn't take guts. It just takes liking yourself and doing what makes you happy. Now you say, painting your hair these different colors is liking yourself? Well, I would imagine so. Why do they sell so much hair paint? Because people paint their hair. They paint their hair from the beginning of time. I think Akhenaten may have painted his hair, and others painted their hair in whatever was the technique of the time. The technique of the time may have been different. But they sell so much hair coloring, because that's what people do. And then they tell you, don't paint your pubic hair, and don't paint your hair under your arms, and you shouldn't be painting your mustache and beard, because they have a special hair coloring for that, you know. And I don't know what it would be, but it just helps them make a little more money. But why would they have it, and why would they say it, if a lot of people don't do it? People just do it and enjoy it and get a great thrill out of it. Well, now, you're a parent, and you have to live with these children and their wild hairdos. And what do you say to them? You say, not in my house. Not in my house. But Mom, this is my house too. And I think that's a big thing that a lot of families miss, that the house doesn't belong to the parents. The house belongs to what?
Family.
The family. And if one member of the family wants to do something stupid in the house, the rest of the house has to go along with it. Really. Because it's their house as much as anyone else's. And if the majority say, this is what we want done, then theoretically that's what you want done. But if the majority realize that if they listen and hear, they can accomplish anything they want without giving any orders, without giving any advice. A mother who will listen and hear her child and say, you are wonderful. Now, how do you paint your hair green? How do you paint your hair pink? And now, this won't hurt your hair permanently. It'll just hurt the hair that comes out, you know, because then they'll eventually have to be cut off or trimmed, and then you start over again. But did you know that in the Byerly family, hair has always been one of the pride and joys? That every Byerly who has ever lived has had the most marvelous hair, the most beautiful colored hair, and that's you, sweetheart, you know. That's you. You have our tradition. You have the most marvelous, beautiful hair. And it's so lovely. It's just a shame to color it. But of course, if you want to color it, that's okay. But, you know, it's so beautiful. There's no one on the face of the earth who has more beautiful hair than you do. And what do you think that kid's going to do? You think that kid's just going to go wild? He doesn't need to anymore. He doesn't need to make a statement, because he's not making a statement to anything. Statements are usually made to advice, and usually to contrary advice. And this is what we do. Well, can you learn to listen and hear what's being said around you and respond in love with it? Can you learn to listen and hear inside yourself and not fight those windmills? We don't need a Don Quixote consciousness when we have the ability to be God consciousness. So relax. Be pleased with yourself. Be comfortable with yourself. Be happy with yourself. And you will have miracles taking place in your life, because you will listen and hear and not advise. What a wonderful gift. I love you.